welcome. This is Soccer Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in to our second broadcast. It's great to have you listening to us, broadcasting live on the hills from San Fernando Valley, overlooking the West Valley. Gorgeous, gorgeous tonight. My name is John Ventura. I'll be your host again this evening. Before we do anything here, I want to let you know that we have an email address. If you want to participate in the show, send your emails to soccerradio@gmail.com. That's soccerradio@gmail.com. We have somebody right now with a computer, and as soon as your email comes in, and if you have any questions or comments about the show, we'd love to read them and possibly throw them on the air for you. And if you want to send some questions or comments about our guest coming up, our topic tonight is club mergers. So if you want to send some comments and guests about our topic, we'll be glad to receive those emails and get a chance to throw them on the air for you. All right? So thanks a lot for listening. You're listening right on bbsradio.com on the World Wide Web. This show is listened in Southern California and, of course, syndicated nationwide. So we thank you so much for tuning into our second live broadcast. Before anything, I want to give out a couple MLS scores. There was one MLS game that played tonight. It was New England Revolution against Kansas City. Kansas City was a home team, and they went down 3-1 to New England. And a Champions Cup was played tonight with another one on the plane right now between Houston Dynamo and Saprissa. But DC United won tonight 2-1. However, in goal aggregate, they lost 3-2. So it looks like DC United is no longer in the Champions Cup. And Pachuca from Mexico will be playing in the finals, waiting the winners between Houston Dynamo and Saprissa. This is Soccer Radio. Once again, our email is soccerradio@gmail.com. Topic tonight, phone fans, it is club mergers. We have quite a few clubs that apparently have been merging lately. The big one last year that merged was SoCal United with Samba. You know, put heads together and they turned themselves into Real SoCal. I think that was the biggest one that happened. I think, to be honest with you, they set the trend on this. And then we have a merger with Glendora FC and Stampede. They merged together, and looks like they had a baby boy called Legends FC. So that is their new name now. They'll be playing in the fall, Legends FC. And we will be talking to Josh Hodges, who is the DOC district. Excuse me. Did the DOC over at Legends, and he'll be glad to talk to us on the phone and answer any questions you have through emails and things like that. And we're going to get to the bottom of this and find exactly what this merger was all about. All right, that'll be our first segment of the show. And then our second segment, another merger that happened between South Bay Soccer Club and Force Soccer Club. South Bay Soccer Club and Force, and we're going to have the president of South Bay, Steve Badden, will be on with us the second half hour of our show. He'll be glad to answer any questions you have. We're going to find out all about that merger as well. So all kinds of stuff happening. And, you know, we try to get the other people about the other. There's another merger that happened earlier in the year. Arsenal with Southwest. And to be honest with you, I think it's Southwest merged with Arsenal because the name is still Arsenal. So it's actually Southwest merged with Arsenal. They kept the name Arsenal. We had a chance to talk briefly with Jeremy over there, the DOC, very nice gentleman, and we tried to get a hold of the director of the DOC, PJ Brown, over at Arsenal, and unfortunately no return phone calls. I guess they're very busy right now with Nationals, get ready for Nationals and things like that. So you're listening to Soccer Radio on bbsradio.com. This is Johnny Ventura. Thank you so much for tuning in, soccer fans. And we're going to take our first break. As soon as we open up, we will come back with our first guest, Josh Hodges from Legends FC. This is Soccer Radio.
Houston, we have a problem.
State your problem.
Picking up transmission from Mars.
Welcome back, soccer fans. This is Soccer Radio, and I'm Johnny Ventura. Thank you so much for listening in. Our topic this evening for our second show is club mergers. We got a lot of clubs lately that have been merging together to create themselves a bad boy, so we'll see what happens here. Glendora FC merged in with Stampede, created themselves Legends FC for the new season. And we're going to be talking with the DOC from the girls program, which you'll be asking some questions. So we have Josh Hodges. Josh, you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, man? Thank you so much for joining us on Soccer Radio.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Hey, Josh, why don't you let us know exactly how did this all come about between Glendora FC and Stampede merging together?
Okay. Well, we're two clubs somewhat in the vicinity of each other. And we've both kind of started around the same time, and just kind of been not necessarily always competing against each other in every age groups, but, you know, both programs have been progressing around the same rate, adding tournaments, adding different activities, and one day, actually, the other director of coaching for Legends FC, who's the former Stampede director, Billy, we actually met at an AYSO field where we're both out recruiting players and for our program, for our younger program, and I think it both dawned on us that day that what would it look like if both of us were working together instead of against each other towards the same vision. And there's a whole big funny story behind it. We actually, he had a person there that was putting flyers on the car. I had a person there putting flyers on the car. And we kind of were competing on going around and putting the other person's flyer on top of the other person. And it was, and we were just giving each other a hard time. But over the last couple of years, we've kind of gotten to know each other better, you know, kind of sought out each other's opinions and ideas about club soccer in general, and just, you know, started to build a good relationship and thought that it made sense to combine our energies towards one common vision.
Sounds good. You know, obviously, there's a lot of these clubs are merging together. I mean, there's a lot of listeners out there had all kinds of questions on the site, SoCal site, which is a great forum, soccer forum, that they post all kinds of questions and people put all kinds of information on. And I had a chance to look over that this morning. A lot of them were basically wondering, what's the whole point of this? Is this the reason for Glendora to fade out Stampede, or Stampede to fade out Glendora and take their teams away, or is it actually two clubs thinking about, actually the merger happened, but thinking about the kids and trying to create something big enough so that way, you know, they can actually develop kids in the near future?
Well, I think obviously it's not to try and take one away from the other. If you kind of have an opportunity to take a look at our website, it's, and we're still trying to get as much content added every day, but really we want to have a complete program. We want to have introductory programs for kids to introduce them to the game of soccer. We want to have competitive club teams on both the boys' side and the girls' side. And we also want the kids in our program to have an opportunity to compete in it's, I don't even know if it's the proper way to put it, but the semi-professional level minor league soccer. We have franchises under the same name now. It's called the Los Angeles Legends, which is the PDL, is on the men's side, and W League, and it's just chances for kids in our program to maybe play at a higher level earlier, for kids in our program to go off to college and come back and still continue to be developed by our program, and maybe it may be a stepping stone for a handful of players to maybe be seen by the professional ranks, where they can maybe truly go on from our program and into the pro ranks. So it definitely is a joint effort. You know, there's not one side that's better than the other. Both organizations bring a lot to the table, and it's really interesting how unique the two fit together. Just the things that they've learned over time, what we've learned, even simple things like our tournament. We just started a tournament in January. Their tournament's in the spring. Great, you know, great to have two tournaments that can, you know, hopefully be a good supporting thing to our club program. You know, clubs eventually develop a little bit of a reputation. You know, I think our Glendora FC had a little bit more of a reputation of having a few higher level girls teams, and on the opposite, on their side, maybe some more competitive boys teams, and just the two together, it's just a great fit. You know, Coast Soccer League has a rule where you can only have three teams per age group, and through
combining, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up there, Josh. I mean, let's get into that three team per age bracket thing. I did some homework here, and I noticed that Glendora this season had 21 teams. They had 8 bronze, 5 silver, 7 silver elite, 1 gold, and 1 premier team. Stampede
Correct.
Had 11 bronze, 9 silver, 5 silver elite, 3 gold, and 1 premier. I'm a little concerned about something. I mean, it's great that the merger happened and all. I mean, it's great. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be great for club soccer. It's going to be great for the kids and everything.
Right.
But I'm a little concerned about something here. Is obviously, when you merge these two clubs together, the whole thing is you are going to have to, you guys are definitely thinking about playing at a higher level. In other words, having the silver teams and the silver elite teams and the gold teams and possibly some premier teams. I'm a little concerned about the kids who were loyal and dedicated Glendora teams and loyal and dedicated Stampede teams. Where are they actually going to fit? I mean, you're going to lose
yeah.
a lot of kids. Where are they going to go?
Well, we had our younger tryouts, U9 through U14. And what I was saying earlier is that basically there was only 3 or 4 situations where we had too many teams in an age group.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty unique because most times, clubs come together, you got like 6 teams for every age group, and a lot of people get left out. So we only had 3 or 4 situations where we had too many teams, 1 too many teams, or maybe 2, where we, you know, like anything, you have to have a tryout, and everybody has an equal opportunity to make the program, and the players that weren't selected have an opportunity to maybe seek out other local programs in the area. You know, I know there are some situations where maybe groups want to stay together and find another program. Another situations where maybe it's an opportunity where kids were already trying out because they were, you know, maybe concerned on whether they would make it. But I think we've actually done a pretty good job maintaining a core of, you know, all the teams. And our philosophy was not to go in there 9s, 10s, and 11s and merge all these teams together and change all the coaches and do all that stuff, but more, you know, if the teams were healthy and going in a positive direction, to keep those teams kind of intact, even if right now, I mean, we could bunch the 2 teams together at 10 and make the super team, but we all kind of agreed to the bigger picture. Let's let all the teams transition in together, stay healthy if they're healthy, if there's problems. We had a couple of situations where we're having a hard time, you know, getting a good roster size. And the older age groups, we've got to make some decisions because it's closer to Premier, but you know, we've been pretty fortunate for it to be a very good fit where there's only 3 or 4 conflicts. And our philosophy was not to go in there and just merge everything together, but more just have the teams continue to be progress and be healthy.
Okay. So, in other words, a lot of the merger, the reason for the merger didn't really, it wasn't because, for example, Glendora had more fields than Stampede, and Stampede brought something else to the table. Basically, both clubs were pretty much situated comfortably, and it was just 2 clubs that decided to merge together and create something better for the kids. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think there's some mergers that are out of desperation, you know, because one at one side or the other side are having difficult times, or there's a reason behind it. But I think, you know, I don't think either club is there yet, you know. But I thought Glendora FC was making good progress, FC Stampede was making good progress, and we felt like if we worked together, that we could make something bigger than maybe who we are as a smaller entity. You know, their program was very, Stampede's program was very similar to Glendora FC's. They brought facilities to the table. We brought facilities. They brought good coaching staff. We brought good coaching staff. You know, they had a directors of operation. We had directors of operation. So it's just, like I said, it's probably one of the most, you know, knock on wood, you know, the unique fits. And we've had very, 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 very few challenges or difficulties. Most everybody's been super excited about it and super supportive of it. And, you know, change is hard for some people, but I think in this situation, people kind of see the bigger picture too. And it truly is an opportunity for, you know, the serious soccer player to be in a good program that we're striving to be as professional as we can, and to provide the best opportunity for our kids to be developed from 3 or 4 years of age all the way to the semi-professional ranks.
Well, it doesn't hurt either. I mean, by merging these 2, Glendora and Stampede, I mean, from what I understand, 21 teams for Glendora that are on the roster, along with 29 teams with Stampede. You're looking at 50 teams there. Is that basically what you guys want to keep it at, or are you planning to extend it even higher? And also, go ahead.
No, I was going to cut you off. Sorry. probably where we're at right now is I think it was looking like we could have 50 to 52 teams. the magic number for us, depending on how older drafts goes and some decisions, is probably going to be anywhere from 45 to 48 teams. And it's not, to us, it doesn't matter if we have 60 teams or 40. We just want every team to be a quality team, to be a good situation where kids are committed and that and the team is moving in a good direction. So I think, again, with Go Soccer League, you can only have three teams per age group on each side. I believe the maximum you could ever have at the club, if you want to put them all in Go Soccer League, is really around 60 teams. So we just want to have every team, you know, the people in our program have a good experience and be competitive and be a good representation of, you know, what who we are and what we believe in.
Obviously, this merger is going to help you subsidize your PDL and also your women's league, correct?
You know, and I saw that on the forums, you know, which was a little bit startling. But you know, I think, you know, obviously it's an immediate fan base. But the way that we view the PDL and W League is one we have. There's a U16 girls team that I coach right now. Mm-hmm. That those players will have the opportunity maybe to participate at a minimum in the training this summer with some of the college all-stars from around the area. Some of them, if they do really well, they'll have a chance to travel to Colorado and maybe Vancouver. The boys' side, we have a very talented team, U16 team, that just got back from Dallas Cup. You know, there's players that are in the national pool on that group that will have the opportunity to train with these college players and maybe, you know, potentially move on to play and compete in some games. But so, yeah, I think it does help give a stronger foundation, an immediate fan base. You know, it's going to be a situation where we're going to allow every player is going to receive, you know, a free player pass. And kind of our idea behind it, too, is that, you know, for not everybody can always get out to the Home Depot Center, you know, and it's an expensive trip when you do go out there. But, you know, chances to have pretty high-level soccer here locally, for the kids in our program to be a part of, do the ball boy thing, do the walk out with the players, maybe some halftime games, just have that VR opportunity for to make some events for these players to have some good soccer experiences. And, you know, if the fans want to support it, you know, that's obviously great, but we also get a lot of support from people in the local community. We've been here for 2 years with the men's team. So, you know, to answer your question, yeah, I think it does give a stronger foundation. But I mean, the players are going to get a free pass to the game, so you know, there's no money being made off that. And the parents, it'll be their choice, you know, if they want to go to the games or not. You know, it's available to them.
When you start your women's league, where exactly will the games going to be played? Where's the home base for that?
We've operated out of Citrus College in Glendora. It's right on the border of Glendora and Azusa. They just renovated the field. It's a field turf field. It seats about 10,000 people. It's probably one of the most professional setups in the whole PDL on the Southwestern Conference. They are renovating now some other parts of it where they're going to build locker rooms literally in the stadium and offices. So, our plan is still to continue to be at Citrus College, but, there may be some challenges with, the locker rooms and access for people this year. Through the renovation stuff they're doing. So right now our plan, every game with the exception of one will be at Citrus College. And that game that's not, we're looking to find one maybe in the Chino Hills community where we can kind of branch out to that area and bring people out from AYSO's teams and club people from that area to come out and check it out too.
Is there talk at all that, since all this stuff is just rambling around with Legends SC, is there talk of that Legends might, has anybody ever put on the table that you guys might start your own recreational league, like there's one out here in the San Fernando Valley? I'm not talking club league. I'm talking recreational league.
I think that's probably the only piece that we're missing. We took a stab at that last winter. We called it the Winter Academy, where basically we have professional coaches training kids from 7 to 10 years of age. We train them, and then we put them into a couple of soccer events. Here in Glendora, there's a youth soccer program. It's not AYSO. That's kind of run by the city of Glendora, you know, that we have a partnership with. I know Stampede has had a program they called Mini Stampede, which is very similar to what I just described with the Winter Academy. So, absolutely, I really feel like that's the only one of the few, you know, pieces that we're missing to our puzzle. So, would that be an opportunity for us? Yes, you know, hopefully, but, you know, with AYSO/recreational programs, that's a lot of time and energy and stuff, and we want to make sure we're staying focused on, you know, what we already have as well.
That sounds good. That sounds good. I mean, in all fairness to AYSL, it's great for them to have their own thing, and also there's a West Valley League out here that's recreational. But I feel that if a club should start their own rec league, it'd be great for them to actually use club coaches to develop those kids instead of actually
If you follow the Rush Soccer Club out of Colorado, you know, now they're franchising the Rush throughout the whole United States, but you know, they've got a big time recreational program and a big time club program, and they're probably one of the most famous clubs in the United States for that, you know, for having a great recreational foundation. There's some clubs out of San Diego that have built in structure with a recreational program, and you see their younger teams are just very powerful, competing for state titles every year. So I think that'd be a nice piece to add to the puzzle.
And how is it that you guys came across to have two DOCs for this, for Legends? Why not just one DOC?
You know, I think that's an interesting question. You know, I think it's a lot of stuff. You know, just the Stampede Club alone, it was a lot. Just Glendorfy alone, it was a lot. You add all these other things into it, it's a lot. So I think the idea is having, you know, you don't want to segregate it too much. I mean, I'm going to deal predominantly with the girls. Billy's going to deal predominantly with the boys, but we're going to work together on the day-to-day operations of the club with our management team, and he's giving input on the girls, I'm giving input on the boys. So it's just a lot of teams, you know. You have the PDL and the W League, and you add some of the other programs that we've created throughout the years. You know, it's just a lot of responsibility for just one person to run. So I think it's, you know, I think sometimes when you have two people, maybe they have two different ideas, but, you know, everything's been great between Billy and I. We share a lot of the same ideas, and you know, sometimes we agree or disagree, but we're all, again, we're committed to the vision that we've laid out in front for everybody to follow.
And in all fairness, that the other DLC that we're talking about is obviously Billy Bizarro, and he could not be here. I mean, he wanted to be here, but obviously he's got commitments with his teams, getting them ready for Nationals. And so we just want a little shout out to Billy, and that's the reason why Billy could not be here.
Yeah, and all this, I mean, all this information is stuff that we've discussed as well, so.
And how many presidents are you planning to also have for Legends, two or one?
How many presidents?
Yeah, is there going to be one president for the club?
Yeah, we have one president.
Again, who's that?
His name is Rafiq Tadros.
Okay. And did he come, was he the president over at Glendora or Stampede?
He was the president at Glendora.
At Glendora. So
yes.
Pretty much what happened to the Stampede guy? Did you guys give him another position?
No, the way that our organization set up, we have him. Ruben Zendejas was the president for Stampede. We have Bobby Gomez. We have a fair blend of both. And you can, I mean, call it a title, president, vice president, or whatever, but you know, the reality is that the majority of the clubs run by the directors of coaching and the management team, and the board of directors is just there to support. And really the only reason behind that was not one was better than the other, just more maybe availability to be able to help out and contribute, because, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on. So I know where you're going with that, but it's even. So it's not one more Stampede people or more Glendora FC people or snow power plays. It's nothing. It's a good situation where even all the board of directors, it's even, and it's good. So.
And tell me, what kind of feedback did you get from the parents and the players when actually that particular memo was sent out that these two teams were going to merge together? What was the feedback? I mean, what was the talk? The cooler.
We were debating. We could have waited till the end of the State Cup and then announced it, or. You know, we decided that we wanted to announce it once we made the decision, which was in January. Surprisingly, again, you know, I think people were, you know, questions that I think were asked to me and even Billy is, you know, both programs I think believed in their programs, Glendora and Stampede and Stampede. So, you know, I think the major question was, why would you give that up? You know, Glendora FC is doing great or Stampede is doing great. But, Most of the situations, sticky situation we had, or maybe some people that were upset, were people that maybe were concerned where maybe their child would fit into the equation or their team would fit into the equation. So, I mean, surprisingly well, to my face, at least speaking for myself, you know, I had very few people say, don't do it, this is stupid, it's not a good thing. I think everybody kind of saw what it could be apart. You know, Glendora was doing good things, Stampede was doing good things, but together it could be a more complete program, and boys and girls teams all doing well and all the stuff going on around them could be good for everybody.
Yeah, doing
so
well.
I mean, a lot of people bought into the vision. So.
Yeah, they did. And if I'm not mistaken, you had a I hope I'm right here. You had a boys under 12 team that made it to the finals at State Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They coached by Hector. They play some of the best soccer around. I was at that game. They had every right to win that game. So it's awesome. They still get an opportunity to go to regionals in Hawaii. My older team was fortunate enough to qualify for Hawaii as well through that new league. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the Far West Regional League.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have two teams that are going to represent us for sure in Hawaii for regionals, and we'll see how National Cup goes for some of these older teams as well.
And your coaches, now that are going to be coaching Legends FC, how many coaches basically are either play the club professionally or semi-pro? Is that pretty much your staff there that has that?
I would say the majority. I mean, most everybody on our staff, maybe with the exception of one or two, have at least played collegiately. A lot of coaches on our staff have been involved in coaching at the high school and the collegiate level. We've had, if you look at our six main directors, three of them have played at the professional level, and the other three have played at the semi-professional level. It's led by people that have actually played the game and, have had some good experience with coaches in some good situations and maybe some bad experience that they learned from. But our whole staff, we have about 30 coaches, and I would say probably with the exception of one or two, all of them have played, at least collegiately.
And
we're still getting to know each other, too. So I may be wrong on that. It may be everybody.
Who came up with the name Legends FC? How did you guys get that name?
It's very hard. It's been, for myself, with Glendora FC and with the PDL, it used to be called LA Storm. The idea was eventually to have one name for it all. And, once we made this decision to do this, it was very hard to figure out a name that nobody had ever used. Or that was currently using, at least in this area, if not, hopefully in the United States, with the United Soccer League, where the PDL and W League are under that umbrella. They have a rule where you can't use a name that they're using for their pro teams or for their men's teams or their women's teams or the Division II teams. Mm-hmm. So we had to be, we just, for like a good 3 months, just kept going, back and forth. What about this? What about this? Searching on the internet, checking out other programs. And really we decided to go with a name that was not being used in this area, and also a name that would, some people said, hey, why didn't you affiliate it with a Manchester United or a big English Premier League club? And kind of our idea is to kind of create our own identity here in Southern California and have this program where hopefully someday maybe we can even have a pro team that's not even copied off of another team. It's our own little thing that we've created here in Glendora and Chino Hills. So a lot of brainstorming, a lot of ideas, a lot I like this, a lot I don't like this. And then we've thrown around even the name that we were kind of throwing around to our coaches, and then even towards the end we even switched it up a little bit too, just to make sure that we had one name for everything so it was unified. So big process, though. It's hard to find a name that we could all stand behind.
True. That's true. Is Legends FC a nonprofit organization?
Absolutely.
Great. Great. So that's good.
It's a 501c3. Mm-hmm.
What are your fees for the season there, Josh?
I think this is a pretty cool thing too. And hopefully maybe shows a little bit where our hearts are at. The Youngers program fees were
We're talking U9 to U10 or U9 to U11?
Yeah, U9 and U10. Small-sided games are 1,200, and that pretty much includes the year. What it doesn't include is like a warm-up, and depending on how many tournaments the team wants to go to, they'll have to pay a little bit extra for that, but that covers everything. Two new, brand-new kits, training stuff, leagues, state cup, our tournaments. We had additional one, and then and Glendale FC's program used to be $1,400, so we actually even reduced the price to $1,200 just because, again, we have more people involved in this program, so we can cut costs and save some money here and there, so we can provide. You know, a lot of kids don't want to start at nines and tens because, you know, they could go to AYSO for maybe $80, you know, $1,200, $1,400, whatever, sounds like a lot. So that's our youngers, and our olders is $1,600. That's for U11 and above. And again, that includes pretty much everything, with the exception of warm-up and tournaments and all that stuff. So,
does that include Coast Soccer League, State Cup, or is that separate?
Covers every Coast Soccer League, all the Coast Soccer League referee fees, State Cup referee fees. It covers their CYSA player registration. It covers the tournaments, obviously, that we provide. I know some clubs maybe even charge their own teams for their own tournament, but they don't have to pay anything for that. We also have another tournament, at least one that we're going to pick club-wide, where we kind of take our whole program to and have a fun weekend there. It covers, you know, coaching basically year-round. With the older teams, 14 and above, some of the kids go to high school, but even during the high school time, we have a lot of, you know, stuff that we do to help out with either our younger program or you know, recruit for National Cup after high school.
Well, and your field, like the home field for Legends, where are they located? What city? Where are you going to be playing out of?
Basically, we have a dedicated facility that's ours. They have a dedicated facility that's ours, that theirs. So we have a field in Glendora, we have a field in Chino that are specifically ours. We're the only people that use them. Then, in both cities, there's been new sports parks developed. That we're able to use depending on what's going on within the city. And then there's some other facilities that we've both branched off in the different areas, Chino Hills, Glendora, even Azusa, that we use. So we have, and that's a great thing that we have, is we have a lot of facilities to be able to house these teams. So we have probably 3 to 4 primary ones in the Glendora area. And 3 to 4 primary ones in the Chino Hills area.
Great. So you're going to start the new season come fall with some new colors, black and yellow, if I'm not mistaken, and a new name.
It's like a yellow gold. The referees are always going to call it yellow. It's like a yellow gold.
Yellow gold, exactly, yellow gold. And they got a new name starting in the fall. For our listeners out there, why don't you tell them exactly what your website address for the Legends is, and any players out there who are interested in playing club, who live in the area, who want to check out Legends FC, what they're all about, why don't you let them know what's going on?
Okay, our website is www.legendsfc.net. And that's basically the main way that we're going to communicate to not only outside people, but also people internally. If there's players or parents that are interested in having them check out the program, they can either contact one of us through the webpage, through an email, or we have an office that we run Monday through Friday, regular business hours, where the phone number for that is 626-852-4432.
Great.
So website or office, you can stop by here and ask questions. We've got a main office, and we have that website as our main forms of communication to people that are interested. There's even a situation where if you want to fill out a tryout request or a request for information, you can go onto our website and fill out all your information, and we'll follow up with you.
Great. Well, let's hope any kids out there, any parents that want their kids to experience a little bit of club soccer, go ahead and check out that email address, along with the website that Josh mentioned. Josh, time flew by, man. I really appreciate you being with us on Soccer Radio. Josh Hodges,
yeah.
Director of Coaching for the girls program over at FC Legends. congratulations on the merger. I hope things work out for you. And my main thing is let's hope it's good for the kids, which I think it will be. And good luck on the new season. And thanks a lot for being with us.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
No problem. This is Soccer Radio. I'm Johnny Ventura. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with our second guest, Steve Batten, president of South Bay Soccer Club. The club just merged with Force, and we're going to find out what's happening with him. So thank you for tuning in. This is Soccer Radio. We'll be right back.
BBSRadio.com, radio that transcends the third dimension. BBSRadio.com embraces the fourth dimension, promotes natural alternative health, spreads joy. BBSRadio.com. Free energy, spirituality, honesty and truth. BBSRadio.com. Increase the vibration of the people and the planet. BBSRadio.com.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad in Berlin, Germany, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Hi, Peggy Lee Quayler here. Hey, thanks for listening to Stories Untold on BBS. And you can visit my website at cdbaby.com/cd/Peggy Lee with an A. You can purchase a copy there or write a review. And stay tuned for my next album project, That's Just Hollywood, coming out in June. I'll be sure Doug has a copy for BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Soccer Radio. I'm Johnny Ventura, and thank you so much for listening in. You're on bbsradio.com on the World Wide Web. This is our second show, and so far things are going okay. I mean, we have some great guests. We got Steve Batten, the president of South Bay Soccer Club, will be joining us in a few seconds. His club just merged with Force, and we're going to talk to him and find out exactly what that is all about. So if you have any questions for any of our guests, or if you have any questions regarding our show or comments or anything like that, just go ahead and email soccerradio@gmail.com. That's soccerradio@gmail.com. And I'd like to take this time to announce our first sponsor. We're happy over here to have our first sponsor, Offside Sports. Offside Sports, located in Woodland Hills on 1955 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Team outfitting. They also do specialize in silk screening and embroidery. This is just a great place to walk in and buy all kinds of team outfitting stuff. If you got anything that needs to be embroidered, they'll do it quick. They're very professional. Silk screening is one of the best silk screening I've seen in Southern California. So head on over there, walk in. The owner's Roland. He's got a great staff. If you mention Soccer Radio, they'll take 10% off your purchase price. So head on over to Offside Sports, 1955 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills, and they are open from 10 to 7 p.m. All right? All right. Well, once again, thanks a lot for tuning in to Soccer Radio. We have on the line Steve Batten. Steve Batten is the president of South Bay Soccer Club. Steve, how you doing?
Great, Johnny. How are you doing?
Great, man. Hey, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule for being with us. I really do. Thanks a lot.
Oh, my pleasure.
Tell our listeners, man, this is another two powerhouse clubs that merged together, South Bay with Force. Tell us a little bit about this, how this all happened. You know, who actually got the wheels in motion for this to happen?
Actually, our two clubs, we come from a high soccer area in the South Bay. There's been a lot of tradition of good quality soccer here in the South Bay. In fact, I grew up playing soccer here in the South Bay. So there's two large clubs in the South Bay, Force Soccer Club and our club, South Bay Soccer Club. A lot of the principals knew each other, played soccer with each other, mm-hmm. competed against each other. A lot of the kids go to school together, and we've been talking about trying to do something for probably the past 5 years, and it just kind of made sense to do it this year from a standpoint of, you know, bringing good quality coaches together, good administrative people together, and one thing led to another, and with just just a lot of work trying to put this thing together. It came through a couple months ago. So we were kind of on a fast track, but here we are. The clubs have joined, and we're looking forward to the next year's season.
And what exactly is the name that you guys chose for the merger?
We actually made it real easy. We were South Bay Soccer Club. They were Forest Soccer Club, so we're going to be South Bay Forest Soccer Club.
South Bay Forest Soccer Club. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're kind of merging the colors of the two clubs. We'll be blue, black, and white.
Oh, okay. So you pretty much combined not only the name, but you combined the colors of both clubs. You made it into one home thing, and everybody's happy, I hope.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Josh earlier. Going by your teams from South Bay, 11 bronze, 7 silver. That obviously, I'm talking about that played this season. 11 bronze, 7 silver, 7 silver elite, 3 gold. No premier teams. Force had 9 bronze, 8 silver, 8 silver elite, 4 gold, and 3 premier teams. That's 32 teams for Force and 28 for you guys. My main concern also is obviously you guys are going to keep the stronger teams together, keep the stronger players together. Mostly teams playing silver lead, and beyond. What is going to happen to those bronze players? Is there another club picked them up, or what's going on with those kids who obviously only three teams are allowed per age bracket? So what's going to be happening to the rest of the bronze players?
Yeah, actually, we didn't have too much in the way of teams where we had a certain number of teams in each age bracket. There were only a few age groups where we each had two teams.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those were on the younger side. So when you go from your 9s and 10s to next year's 11s, which is one of the age groups we had, you actually then go to 11 aside. So from that standpoint with that group, it really didn't affect that many kids at all because you go to a bigger roster.
Mm-hmm.
So that was easy to integrate. A couple of our groups over 11 where you did have two strong teams from each club going from 4 to 3. It all worked out. I mean, it worked out to where there wasn't much, it was good overlap. There weren't really that many kids that were affected by the whole merger process. Some of our teams aged out. So in terms of integrating teams and players and kids, so far on the younger side, because we've had the tryouts from your up through under 14s, there has not been a whole lot of situations where kids were left out, which is a good thing because that's what really kind of what we're here all about. And there are other clubs in the area, so if there are other kids that did decide to go somewhere else, they're in the South Bay, there are other clubs in the area too. But we didn't have much of that, so which was a good thing.
And what is the feedback with the other clubs around the area that when they found out that this merger was going to happen? What did you get? Any talk around?
I have a couple friends that are at Fram, a good friend of mine who's the president of Fram. I think it's a good thing for our area because I just think there were just too many clubs in our area. And one of the biggest things that I think we all face as a challenge, but in particular in the South Bay where there's not a lot of space, is the field issue, not just with other soccer clubs, but you have lacrosse, flag football league sprouting all over, that you're competing for the same space, which makes it very difficult. So this made it a lot easier for us to merge because from that standpoint, it was easy to integrate our fields and consolidate and made it a lot easier because, again, it's not like there's more space here in the South Bay and there's just more and more demand from outside groups, not just soccer.
Yeah, there's not a lot of soccer fields out there, man. There are a lot of times that I'm cruising down the valley, no matter where I'm at, I'll see some lights, it just looks like the Field of Dreams, and it turns out to be a baseball field or a softball field, and nobody's on it, and the city's just burning lights. And it's just a shame that we don't have more soccer fields out here. Who's your DOC for the merger, for this merger? Who's the DOC?
We're actually going with a four-coaching structure that will head up the coaching staff. That will be Todd Saldana, Danny Pena, Fred Velez, and Shelley Marsden.
Mm-hmm. And so, Danny Pena obviously is well known in the soccer community, especially here in the South Bay. Did ex Galaxy player. And I believe he coaches a couple of teams over at four. So he's definitely a coach to be reckoned with. Fred Bell is too. I've heard of him. It's good to see that he stayed on with for this merger. Is there any way that since you guys did this merger, are you thinking about having your own recreational league down the line? Possibly by having this, you guys have your own pickings of players and able to pick them out of your recreational league and able to develop them for club?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we even talked about prior to this. But the biggest thing that you face with, again, is back to the field issue. Sure, we would love to have a recreational league, but the problem is when you're competing with AYSL, which really has a much bigger control and impact on the fields, not only in the South Bay, but all over. And that's a big issue that we always face.
Yeah.
And we'd love to be able to do that. It's just a matter of field space. And it's just,
you know, it's amazing. This is like the fourth time you said about field space. And I agree with you. I mean, this is one of the reasons why Coast Soccer League does not want to take aboard any independent teams. They want established clubs. They're looking at clubs and with teams of six or more because they're worried about field space because there is no field space out there. They take these independent teams and sometimes they don't have the field space and the Coast Soccer League has to give them the field space and they're sending them over to San Bernardino and they're sending them over to Lancaster and this team could be a home team from Camarillo. So the field space can be a problem, which is really a shame. Out here, there is a club out here, Real SoCal, that has their field space at Pierce College. Isn't there a college out there in that area that you guys can pretty much pay every 2 years to have the field space out there?
I wish there was. We have a couple JACs, junior colleges out here, but the problem is again. The whole issue is there's so many groups wanting to compete for that same space. And one of the biggest things that we always have stressed, and again, are moving forward in that area, is we want quality. I mean, there are fields available, but mm-hmm. my biggest thing that I want for our club is quality field space. I mean, we want to be on, good surfaces for our kids and when we compete in Coast Soccer. So, but yeah, that has been a big part of myself and a couple other people involved in the new club is really trying to have some strategic alliances with some of the junior colleges. But the junior colleges really have one field of their own too. And I think our biggest thing that we've been able to do, I know other clubs, Rampage out in the Valley, has done a good job where we strategically try to align with the high schools. We spend a lot of time with the local high schools trying to help improve their fields by maintaining it with them, fertilizing and spending a lot of time so that we can build a good rapport. Hopefully it helps their program, their facilities, because most cities are faced with fiscal crisis that they need all the help that they can get. So that's been our best positioning has been with the high schools. Believe me, we'd love to do it with the colleges, but that becomes a little bit more difficult to deal with. Rather, we can do it kind of grassroots right with the high schools here.
In your club, is there any future PDL team coming on or a women's league in the near future? You guys planning to put that on the table and expand on that or no?
That's something we really haven't pursued yet. I mean, we've spent probably most of our time, again, our merger kind of came quick, and so we've been really focused on those sort of things right now. But again, that's something that we will look at down the road too.
And what are your fees for the year there, Steve?
For our youngers, which is the 9s and 10s, will be $1,300, and for our olders, 11 on up, it's $1,500.
$1,500. And what exactly does that include? What do you get for that? For the $1,300, what do you get for that?
Well, of course, it's your each team is coached by a licensed coach. A lot of that comes your costs come with, again, back to the field issue.
Finding fields.
Yeah, and that's, again, that is a huge cost for all of us. But in particular, like I said, I hate to say it, but back in the South Bay, it is a premium. And again, we want quality. We do have, you know, goalkeeper training, additional training besides your weekly team training. So it encompasses, you know, pretty much everything along with Coast Soccer. But again, expenses aren't going away. And again, that I hate to go back to it, but fields aren't getting any cheaper. So
no, they're not. They're not. Speaking of that, the schools have gotten smart because they realize there's a lot of money involved in club soccer. They're starting to charge for their fields.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's every, again, part of our align ourselves with the different high schools is, again, when a high school program, again, they're limited on their budgeting and where they're getting their funding from. They're looking out to outside sources. And a big thing that we're seeing is, again, high schools are, you know, putting in the money to put in, you know, turf fields. And, again, to try to recoup some of that money, their big thing is to try to rent that out. And it's not cheap,
but
that's become a big thing for the high schools here in our area. But, you know, we don't mind trying to, again, align ourselves. I mean, believe me, I think most of the kids would rather play on a high-quality grass surface, I think, over a turf field. But, you know, you have to be able to really make sure you have a great grass field. And that's, again, what we've tried to do is really work with the high schools and working together with them to improve their field as well as us using that field, too. So
Right. Well, hey, sounds like you guys got, you know, Forest always had a great program. South Bay, I'm very familiar with that program, and the two of you merging together looks like you're doing something really, really good over there. So, and as long as it's all about the kids, that's the main thing. Let's not lose focus on that. Sometimes these mergers, when they do happen, they happen for the wrong reasons. They basically happen for the dollar signs, and it seems to me that both these mergers that were part of our show tonight are happening for the right reasons. So that's good to hear. That's good to hear. So,
yeah, that was a big thing for us.
Yeah.
I mean, really looking at bringing a lot of these kids that go to school together, have competed together, and that's really what it comes down to is making sure you have a quality program or club for the kids, because really when it comes down to it, it's soccer, but it's...
Exactly. Oh, yeah. That's good to hear. Steve, again, time flies by. You know, it looks like we're going to have to turn this show into a two-hour show. Time just flies by all the time. I want to thank you so much for joining us, for being our second guest today on our second show. So, Steve Badden, president of South Bay, South Bay merging with Force Soccer Club. So, good luck, Steve, on the new upcoming season, and we'll see you out there on the pitch. So thanks a lot for being with us.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Johnny.
All right.
Good luck to you, too.
This is Johnny Ventura. We'd like to thank you so much for tuning in to Soccer Radio. Thank you so much, everybody. We've had some great feedback with our emails and phone calls, and keep it up. Like I said, this show we're doing is strictly for the kids, it's strictly for club soccer, for soccer in general, for Southern California. So thank you so much. Once again, you want to email us, soccerradio@gmail.com. That's soccerradio@gmail.com. If you want to give us a call, feel free to call us at area code 818-340-6509. That is our studio line. That's 818-340-6509. And thank you so much for listening, everybody. Remember, got kids out there. You're only going to get better if you keep practicing. This is Johnny Ventura saying, see you on the pitch, everybody. Thank you so much.